Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining me right now on the program to talk a little NBA offseason, I joined him on his Sirius XM show earlier today. He and I call that a home and home. He jumps on my show in the evening on a Sunday. You can find him on Twitter at HoopsCritic. You can find him, as I just mentioned, on Sirius XM's NBA channel. He's on NBA TV as well. Brian Geltzeiler. Joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, great to have you as always, my man. Russell Westbrook to the Rockets. I guess on a scale of 1 to maximum Daryl Morey, what does this feel? How does this deal feel on a Daryl Morey scale? Does this feel like a Daryl Morey deal to you?
Sure it does. I mean, you know, the thing about Daryl Morey that impresses me the most is his willingness to have the confidence in himself to reinvent something from nothing. And my point is this, listen, that Chris Paul contract, we all considered an albatross. Heck, it's still an albatross. Daryl Morey found a first-round pick to attach to it, to unload it, to get it upgraded to Russell Westbrook. Is he worried that Westbrook and Harden are a fit? Not really. He wasn't worried that Paul and Harden were a fit, even though it didn't fit. And why isn't he worried about Westbrook and Harden? Because he feels like he can spin that into something else if he had to. He has a tremendous amount of confidence in his ability to remake this roster. And one of the things, listen, if you look at the efficiency numbers of both Westbrook and Paul from last year, they're surprisingly similar. And considering that Chris Paul is supposed to be one of the most efficient point guards in the history of the league, this would indicate a meaningful decline for him. And Russell Westbrook's not as bad as people think. The other thing is this, a good two-thirds of the shots that Russell Westbrook takes are either in the restricted area or behind the three-point line. Does that sound familiar to you? Because that's how the Rockets like to play basketball. This whole thing's a little more well thought out, well researched, and people want to give them credit for in terms of knowing what it's going to be. And the question to me is not, will Russell Westbrook make the appropriate level of sacrifice to fit in with the Rockets? I am quite sure that's going to happen. The question is James Harden going to keep his word and play a lot more off the ball and let Russ be Russ? That's the bigger question, because he said he was going to do it with Chris Paul. He didn't do it with Chris Paul. If anything, he isolated more with Westbrook here. That's not going to work. Listen, Westbrook's not the spot-up shooter Paul was. It's not going to work even close to as well as it worked with Chris Paul. James Harden's going to have to be the one to make some sacrifices and make some changes if this whole thing is going to have the desired effect on the Rockets.
So, Geltz, that's interesting. So the analytics part of this, are people making too much of maybe the inefficiency in Russ's game? And when you allude to the numbers being a little closer from an efficiency standpoint with CP3 and Russell than you thought, can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, all right, the one area where CP3 is better is a three-point shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. However, for the Rockets, you know this, Shawnee, about how they like to do this and how they like to play. They're a lot more concerned with how many threes you take than they're concerned with how many threes you make. They want three-point shots going up because they understand the law of averages is that if we take enough threes, we're going to put enough in the basket that's going to give us an advantage. So from that standpoint, the fact that Russ only shot 29% from three last year, only shoots 30% for his career. Listen, CP3 only shot 35% from three last year. So it's not like he was lighting the world on fire from there. And the other thing about him that's important to look at is that he took threes, and most of the other shots he took were from that 10 to 16 foot range in the middle of the paint. So they brought him on board. And I talked to Mike D'Antoni 2 years ago when they traded for him, and he talked about his 53% true shooting percentage and that was what he was able to do in the mid range. And that's what they looked for him to bring. They didn't really use him that way. Westbrook is so much more of a threat off the bounce, getting in the paint and going to the basket, that he will create a whole lot for the guys around him. And here's the other thing you have to remember about Russell Westbrook. After Durant left, have they ever surrounded him with shooters in OKC? He's got a bunch of guys that can't shoot straight. He's going to have Eric Gordon out there with him. He's going to have James Harden out there with him who can shoot the basketball. P.J. Tucker shot over 40% on corner threes last year, and he camps out in that corner. Gerald Green can knock down a three. He's got shooters around him. So Russ's drive and kick game is going to be livened up there. But when you look at the analytics of this, Russ had a higher PER last year than Chris Paul. He was just a more efficient player for the most part, except for that three-point percentage. But again, for the Rockets, if you're taking those shots, they're okay with you. The thing for Russ that they're going to have to make sure they keep a little bit of a lid on that they didn't have to do with CP3 are the threes off the bounce. Russ likes to take some of those, and his percentage is a lot lower than CP3 on those. And they're going to have to be careful and get Russ to check those at the door.
Brian Geltzeiler, Hoops Critic, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, right before I left to go on vacation 2 weeks ago, the big question in Houston was, will Jimmy Butler be a Rocket? I figured I'd be coming back to an answer to that 2 weeks later. I got an answer. He's not a Rocket. He's a member of the Miami Heat. I guess my question I'm leading up to here is, how much better off are the Rockets that they struck out on trading for Jimmy Butler and sort of gutting the rest of their rotation to do it and now winding up with Russell Westbrook, no Chris Paul contract, and keeping the rest of the roster intact?
Listen, three guys on this team that you had to keep if you want a chance to advance as far as you need to advance were P.J. Tucker, Clint Capella, and Eric Gordon. You had to keep those three guys. And the thing is, listen, you could replace Capella relatively easily and relatively cheaply because of how much centers have been devalued in the game today. But that doesn't change the fact that he's probably the best big in the league on switching out the guards. And that's a huge thing in playing against all these perimeter guys you're going to play against in a Western Conference. P.J. Tucker does so much for this team. The dude's 6'5", and when you go small, he will rebound well enough at the center position for you. And as I said earlier, he shoots 40% from three and guards anybody. I mean, you know, he used to guard Kevin Durant for them and give up 6 inches and do a good job. P.J. Tucker's so versatile. And then Eric Gordon, it's not only the spot-up shooting, it's the ability to create when you have your big guys on the bench. And again, you'll see a lot. One of the things you'll see Mike D'Antoni do here is he'll stagger rest with Harden and Westbrook. So there's always one of them on the floor at one time, which is going to make Eric Gordon that much more effective because he'll have more room to create, more room for the shots that he likes to take from three. So these, and he also defends well too. He defends like a middle linebacker. So these three guys and what they deliver were really, really important to keep that intact. Another little underrated thing the Rockets did in this offseason, I love bringing Austin Rivers back. I really do. He fits so well playing next to James Harden, and I actually think he'll fit very well playing next to Russell Westbrook. He bought into the only take threes and shots in the paint thing that the Rockets like to do and proved to be an asset without having the ball in his hands a whole lot, which is something he hadn't done in his career up till now. So I look at these bit players for the Rockets. You upgraded in a spot where you needed to upgrade. The thing is, Harden, I keep saying it's when Harden has to let this be an upgrade. If you're not going to let Westbrook do the things that Westbrook likes to do, you might as well not have made the trade and given up the first round picks.
What do you think happens with Chris Paul?
I think he's going to get moved. But it wouldn't surprise me, and I'll say this, because I think Sam Presti has made every smart move under the sun here in this offseason. Understand something. The Thunder needed to piece this apart. This was not financially sustainable for them. They paid $70 million in luxury tax last year and went out in the first round of the playoffs. And three home playoff games is not enough to make up for all that luxury tax in one of the lightest TV revenue markets in the league. So for them, they were trying to shop Steven Adams. So when this kind of fell in their lap, he was all over it. And the fact that Presti was able to do this and exercise some leverage over the Clippers was a great gift to him. This trade, listen, he found Westbrook. There was talk he was going to have to attach picks to Westbrook to get rid of him. To be able to bring in two picks and two pick swaps, it was phenomenal. Now with Chris Paul, I think the smart move is to hold him until December 15th, where a market opens up. Realize 40% of the players in the league were free agents. And come December 15th, anybody can be aggregated into a deal that wasn't signed as a restricted free agent. All of your unrestricted guys. It's going to open. If you wanted to trade CP3 to certain spots, it's going to open that up. The Spurs in particular, listen, I think the Heat still are looking to get him, but the Heat being hard cap means they're going to need a third team to get involved to help them out. And Dallas could be a candidate for that if somebody wants to throw them a protected first-round pick to do it. But I do think the Spurs are really interesting because after December 15th, they can aggregate Rudy Gay's contract with Patty Mills, and it's enough to send over there. And Patty Mills' contract expiring. Gay's a two-year deal here. But to me, Chris Paul with San Antonio puts the Spurs in that Western Conference picture in a way that they're not in there now. And when you look at Aldridge being 32 and you look at DeRozan being 30, Chris Paul at 34 fits that age trajectory. And you know what? With having DeJounte Murray there and all these good young players, years. Heck, you could play him 50 regular season games and just make sure that you load manage him well enough to have him where you need him to be for the playoffs, because that's where you're going to want him. So to me, you have to figure out a way to open up options, because the Heat have them over a barrel right now. And I think the best way is to have him hit the court with the ball in his hands all the time. If he's healthy the first 2 months of the season, you're going to see much better numbers than what he put up last year. And he's got the two Gilgeous Alexander and Gallinari and Adams. He's got a couple of players around him where he can have the Thunder keep their heads above water, and he certainly could make a good showing of himself at the age of 34 that he can still be a high-level NBA point guard. And to me, that's the best way to go.
Oh, Geltz, I am all about having Chris Paul stay in this division and play the Rockets a couple times a year, a couple that's extra times a year.
Right.
That would be fun. Absolutely. Last one before I let you go. We're talking to Brian Geltzeiler, SiriusXM NBA, at Hoops Critic on Twitter. A few weeks ago, the Lakers roster consisted solely of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kyle Kuzma. How have Rob Pelinka and LeBron done at putting pieces around those three guys?
They've done well. I give them credit. Listen, I will tell you, I thought that chasing Kawhi was a fool's game for them. I thought they had no chance at him, and I still believe they didn't have a chance at him. And I thought they'd have a very hard time, and Danny Green did them a solid waiting, because Danny Green knew that if they didn't get Kawhi, he'd be able to get money there, and he got money there. But they went and did some smart things. You know what? Avery Bradley's such a smart signing, because he fits really well with LeBron James. He will guard point guards well. He'll hit an open shot. He doesn't need the ball in his hands all the time. I love that signing. Listen, I like going to get Boogie Cousins at that money. I know Boogie Cousins doesn't behave himself, but the best he ever behaved himself in his career was when he played with Anthony Davis. And the truth of the matter is, that you heard from Davis yesterday, he don't want to play the five. So Cousins playing the five there and him at the four, it means Kyle Kuzma's a bench player, but I think that's actually a great role for Kyle Kuzma. And Cousins, who's down 20 pounds from the close of the season, looks like a guy that can come out there and really, he's goals to play 82 games, which you'll love to hear from him. You know, bringing back guys like Rondo and Caldwell Pope and McGee, it rounds out a little bit of a bench for you. But all in all, I think that under the circumstances, they did a pretty good job of assembling a decent group around them. Those are in, you know, Cousins, Green, Avery, Bradley. These are impact type of guys, guys that they needed desperately. So listen, I think the Lakers are going to be a major, major factor. I look at five teams in the Western Conference right now that are all at the same level, and any of them could come out of the conference. And what'll be interesting is that one of them is going to end up with a road playoff series in the first round of their top five. Okay, it's both LA teams, the Lakers and the Clippers, the Houston Rockets, the Denver Nuggets, and the Utah Jazz. To me, those five teams are all neck and neck, and it'll be very interesting if two of those teams end up in a 4-5 matchup in the first round. But again, the Lakers, with the job they did in rounding out this team, I think did a fantastic job under the circumstances, and they're going to be a major, major factor here.
Geltz, you named five teams, and none of those teams were teams that played in the Western Conference Finals last year.
Nope.
How bananas
nope.
is that?
But that's how this conference image just got totally remade. The whole league, though, for that matter. And listen, what happened to the league here? I said to somebody today, the NBA has not been this wide open in terms of determining who the top teams are since Michael Jordan retired the first time. Think about that. Not the second time where Shaq and Kobe took over. First time. Okay. And Houston ended up winning two titles in a row, but one of them was as a six seed, and we had no idea who was going to be the top teams coming into those two seasons. Since then, you could pretty much have kind of penciled in who your teams were that were going to end up competing for a title. Yeah, unlikely things happen, but you had an idea who was going to be where. This year, going into the year, we have no idea who's going to land where, and that's when this league gets fun, man.
Yeah, no question about it. Well put. Brian Geltzeiler joining me for his weekly visit here on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, appreciate the time as always, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Right back at you, brother. Talk to you soon. Thanks again for this morning, and take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.